It's lovely to be here with you this morning, so thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to share fellowship with you today. And the title of my message this morning is Stay Connected, and it's based on this passage from John chapter 15, verse 1 to 5. But to begin with, I'm going to ask you to just reflect on this question. If you were asked to describe yourself in 7 sentences, what would you say? Now, that's not your external appearance, but essentially who you are. How would you describe your character? And in the Gospel of John, we find recorded 7 self-descriptions of Jesus. And to me, these words carry weight and authority, because they are the things that Jesus said about himself. They're not words that other people used to describe Jesus' mission and purpose, but they're the words that Jesus spoke about himself to reveal and explain to us, to share with us his servant heart and his mission and his purpose for each one of us. You may know the 7 statements. They are: I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth and the life, and I am the true vine. So I'll just read this passage with you now. This is the statement that we're going to reflect on this morning, the 7th and final statement, where Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we look at the context of this statement by Jesus, John chapters 15 and 16 record the last in-depth conversations that Jesus has with his disciples. In the preceding chapters, Jesus knew that his time was short and his earthly ministry was coming to an end. He was trying to prepare his disciples for what was to come, that he would leave them. He shared the Passover meal with them, what we come to regard as the Last Supper in the upper room. Jesus predicted Judas's betrayal, and he predicted Peter's denial. He knew what was to come. But he also promised the disciples, although he was going and he would no longer be with them in person, he would not leave them alone, because he would ask the Heavenly Father to send the Holy Spirit. And at the end of John chapter 14, the very last part of the last verse of John 14 is where Jesus says, come now, let us leave. It was time to leave the upper room. Maybe they were gathering themselves together when Jesus has this discussion with his disciples. Maybe they were in the doorway of the upper room, or maybe they were on the road, on the way out, on their way to Gethsemane, the place of prayer. Jesus' time was very short. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that quite often we only say what we really want to say in the last moments of any conversation. When people visit, or even if we're on the phone and we're having a phone call, we chat, we go through the pleasantries, we catch up with what's been happening. But sometimes there's something on our heart that we really want to share, and we're just looking for that moment, and the right moment doesn't seem to come. And it's only when people say, well, I really must be going now, and they start to actually gather their possessions together or on the phone, oh, I must end this call soon, I've got things to do, that we suddenly realise that if we don't speak up now, the opportunity will be lost. And quite often, it is literally when people are in the hall or on the move, just getting their things together, that we say what we've really wanted to say all along. So, you know, the seven I am statements that Jesus made, some of them were to the crowds and some of them were to the Pharisees and directed specifically at them. But this statement is with those who are the closest to him, to his disciples, to those who love him. It is the most intimate statement, and it is really in those very last moments of his ministry, one of his last conversations with them. Jesus shares this plea that they will remain in him. So what did Jesus mean when he said, I am the true vine? Now, all the seven statements that Jesus made all start with I am. And that was no accident. I believe that was purposeful, because I am is God's personal name. It's the name associated throughout the Old Testament with God's redeeming acts. It's the name by which he wanted to be known by his people. It's the name that expresses God's character as dependable, faithful, and trustworthy. Jesus, in word in these statements, all starting with I am, knew that the Pharisees and his Jewish audience would understand the implication of what he was saying. He was identifying himself with the most sacred personal name of God. I am is the aspect of God's character that he revealed to Moses at Moses' call and commission. When Moses had that encounter with God in the wilderness, when he was a shepherd, and he saw from a distance a burning bush and thought, I must go closer and have a look at this strange sight. And God's voice spoke to him from the bush. And God said, take off your shoes, Moses, because the ground you're standing on is holy. It wasn't the place as such that was holy. It was because Moses was now in the presence of holy God. And it was there that God revealed, I am, this aspect of his character to Moses. Moses was concerned when God told him he would have to go back to Egypt, he'd have to go to Pharaoh, but he would also have to go to the leaders of the people of Israel and say that God was sending him to lead them out of Egypt. And Moses said, well, who shall I say has sent me? How shall I explain who has sent me? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. In Hebrew, the word that's translated there as Lord, depending on your version of the Bible, in the Old Testament, when that Hebrew word Yahweh is translated, it's often in capital letters. That's the Lord who redeems, the Lord, the covenant God, who reaches out to restore his relationship with his people. There's another Hebrew word for Lord, which is Adonai, and that will be a capital L in small letters. But when you see Lord in capital letters, it is Yahweh, the God who rescues and redeems and is relational, the covenant God who desires to be in relationship with his people. Depending on your translation, it's I am who I am that I am, or I will be what I will be. An intriguing description. And maybe, because God revealed that Yahweh is used once or twice in Genesis, in other places, but God really fully revealed this aspect of his character to Moses for the first time. And maybe there's a hint here that God was reaching out to instigate a new depth of his relationship with his people. Because we know what happened after he'd redeemed them and brought them out of Egypt. They came to Mount Sinai to worship God. and receive the covenants, establishing God's relationship with his people. So how appropriate is that that Jesus used I am? The God who rescues and saves. Jesus who came to redeem us and to save us from our sins. That Jesus used I am as the God who intervened to save us. The name by which he wants people to know him. Jesus is relational and intentional. He wants us to know and to love him. So I am was so appropriate for Jesus to identify himself with this most sacred and personal name of God. And then he said, I am the true vine. Now the disciples would have been familiar with the writings of the Psalms and the prophets and the imagery in the Old Testament of Israel as being God's vineyard. God speaks to us with familiar language. You know, he connects and relates to where we are. He knows what we will understand. So this imagery of the vineyard was very familiar to the disciples. That Israel was the vineyard in the Old Testament scriptures. And God was often described as the gardener. He was the one who cleared the ground in the promised land for the people to go in and to spread throughout the land. He was one who cared and nurtured Israel so that they might establish themselves. God is the one who watched over them and prepared for a harvest. It was always God's plan and purpose that Israel would be a light to the Gentiles, that they would be a witness to the nations around them of the blessings of a people and a nation committed to God. But we know that they were often unfaithful and disobedient to God. So Jesus says, I'm the true vine, whereas Israel had not remained true to God. God speaking to Israel through the Old Testament prophets challenged them with this imagery in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 3 to 4. God said, now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? And again, God speaking to Israel, to the people through Jeremiah the prophet, in chapter 2, verse 21 said, I'd planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt and wild vine? So Jesus was using imagery for the disciples that he knew that they were familiar with. And he declared that he was the true vine. He would remain true to the Father. Jesus shortly, very shortly, would demonstrate his surrender and submission to the Father's will. The words that were wrenched out of him as he prayed in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Words of obedience and selfless love. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus came to that place of yielding to the Father and remaining true to the Father's will. Because of Israel's rejection of Jesus, the true vine, he would become the saviour of the world. The good news of Jesus would spread out from Jerusalem to Judea and to the ends of the world. Yielding in love with obedience and trust, Jesus as the true vine produced abundant fruit. And he goes on to say that we are the branches. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, those closest to him. And we, when we commit our lives to the Lord, and we love the Lord Jesus, we are his disciples. We are the branches. And the branches can spread away from each other. Each one can find their own space to grow and to flourish. But all the branches have to remain connected to the vine. The vine is rooted in the ground, and the vine is their life support system. The branches are many, but they all have to be part of the one vine. No branch can survive on its own. And I was reflecting on this message, and that God speaks to us all in different ways. And I was thinking, well, I wonder what if there's another analogy, any other imagery that we could use to describe Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. And I didn't immediately think of anything. But on Thursday, I came to the ladies' meeting here, the ladies' fellowship. And Carol Burstow, who many of you know, was the speaker. And Carol brought out a bag full of chargers. Different chargers for different appliances. She had a charger for an electric toothbrush, an appliance that only has one use, but you might say an essential use. She brought out a mobile phone charger. Now, if you've got a smartphone, you know that mobile phones have multiple uses. They can be used for many things. There's so many things now that you can do on your phone. And she brought out this other charger, which was like had like a big transformer on it. And she said that was a charger for her daughter's electric bike. So different chargers for different appliances. But she pointed out that they all had a 13-amp plug. And they all had to be connected to the mains. And it was, this, you know, different appliances, but the only way for those chargers to be any use and the only way for those appliances to be any use was for them to be connected to the main source and the main supply. And I was really encouraged by that because it's the same Holy Spirit, isn't it? Speaking to Carol through that message, speaking to his word through this passage here, that is when we stay connected to him, when we stay connected to Jesus, he is the one. He is our power supply. He is the source of our strength and our joy. And we have to remain connected to him. Jesus said that God is the gardener. He is the one who cares for the vine and its branches. The one who, when necessary, prunes and refines. We may not like that aspect, but I want to say we should not be afraid of the pruning and the refining. That's to show that God cares for us when he refines us. You know, he is patient with each one of us. He's patient to bring us to salvation. But he's gracious in his refining and pruning. He's more gracious to us often than we are to ourselves. And certainly than we are at times to each other. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. That's the Lord Yahweh, God who redeems and restores, who is relational to us. And God prunes us so that we might bear more fruit. The children's video was great, wasn't it? Explaining so simply and clearly the fruit that God wants to develop in us. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's not solely by our efforts, but that's from remaining, abiding in Christ and staying connected to Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to co-work. We have to be willing to submit to that refining. I would often talk with my sons, you know, about the world of work, and they would say, there's always one difficult, awkward person. And I would say, well, yes, but just think you might be the difficult, awkward person for somebody else. But, you know, that's God's refining work. How does he work love in us? By putting people in our path who we might find hard to love. How does he refine and work patience in us? By making us wait at times. God's refining to develop our character, that we might become more like Jesus. And Jesus says it's only by remaining in him. He is our source of strength and support. And without him, we're nothing. And without him, we cannot do anything. When the teachings of Jesus become part of who we are, when his words remain in us, he goes on to say in this passage in verse 7 and 8, which is not on the screen, but I'll just read it to you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Jesus said, when we remain in him, that when his words remain in us, when we're obedient to his teachings, we can approach God and ask. The fruit of our intimacy with Jesus will be Holy Spirit-guided prayers. The very first song that we sang, which was Jesus, Lover of My Soul, is all about you, Jesus. It's about us surrendering to the Father's will. There was a line that said, it's not that you should do things my way, it's that we surrender to the Father's will. And there's a quote from Eugene Peterson, the man who wrote the Message translation of the Bible. I've got one of his books on prayer. And he said, talking about prayer, the task is not to get God to do something I think needs done, but to become aware of what God is doing so that I can participate in it. When we remain in Christ, when we abide and stay connected with Jesus, our perspective and our priorities change. And those Holy Spirit guided and led prayers are the prayers that bring glory to God. It's when we remain in his love, we keep his commands. And Jesus' command is quite simple, that we love one another. So abide in Christ is when we prioritise our relationship with him. And that really changes everything. When we realise that we are totally dependent on Jesus. And without him, we'll be lost. He is the source of our strength each and every day. Now we have to create time and space to be intentionally present and to focus on the Lord. We know today there's so many self-help books about personal relationships. That personal relationships will only thrive if you actually spend time with each other, if you listen attentively, if you talk to each other, if you share with one another. How much more so for our relationship with the Lord? You know, Sunday worship is not enough. We'll be like one of those devices. We'll get a short recharge as we're plugged into the mains. But you need to keep plugging in. You need to keep staying connected with the Lord. And our lifestyles and the seasons of our lives change, and we have to be flexible. It's not about creating a rigid structure or rules that we have to keep. It's about personal relationship, and it's about loving Jesus and wanting to spend time with him. And when we spend time with him in the Word and listen to God speaking to our spirit, and when we spend time with him in prayer, yes, we pray, but we listen to hear what God's response is as he whispers to our spirits. When our relationship with the Lord is our focus and our delight, that's when we will flourish. Doesn't mean that we'll never face problems or difficulties. But when we stay connected to Jesus, he is our strength every day. And he calls us his friend. He calls us his friends. Jesus is ever present with us. And he is our friend each and every moment of the day. When we abide in Christ, we have the strength for today. Apostle Paul said, regardless of his circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Abiding in Christ, we have strength for today and we have hope for tomorrow. We have no fear for the future because Jesus is already there. Stay connected and remain in him and bear much fruit. Thank you. God bless.